This podcast is brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Whether you're a budding small business owner or a large company looking for a new space, a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, can help you find the right place to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. The Republican tax bill passed by the Senate last week is on its way to be reconciled with a House version to be final law. But there's more to the bill than just tax cuts and a revised tax code. Numerous amendments were inserted into the Senate bill that give an assortment of industries tax breaks. And Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson joins us from our Washington bureau to discuss. So, Kate, some of the beneficiaries of these amendments, like the oil and gas industry, were not a total surprise. But others, like the cruise ship industry, were for some unexpected.
Yeah, that's definitely one that I think just raised some eyebrows. And certainly when we saw a list late in the day on Friday of some of the amendments that were going to be swept up into what's called a manager's amendment, that's kind of a hodgepodge at the very end of all these different ideas and changes that various senators had offered. Cruise ship provision certainly was a phrase that stuck out. So we dug into that one and we tried to sort through some others and try and figure out couple dozen of amendments that were included, which ones were the most significant and which ones were just fairly unusual, like the cruise ship one. So that was one that was offered by Senator Dan Sullivan from Alaska, where cruise ship tourism is very, very important. And the tax bill included a provision that would have, for complicated reasons, essentially raised taxes on cruise ship lines. And Senator from Alaska said this would disproportionately affect Alaskan communities, especially ones that rely on cruise ship tourism. So that was their justification for that, that it could hurt the economy there. So they offered that one and it made it through.
And many of these amendments inserted into the bill, they're done to appease senators who'd been on the fence in terms of committing to vote for the tax plan. One of those was for Senator Susan Collins of Maine, who had been critical of the Senate tax proposal throughout much of the legislative process.
That's right. Senator Collins, we know, was one of the lawmakers who really used her leverage quite effectively, and she managed to secure a number of commitments and changes. One of the ones that was included in this manager's amendment was a deal to revert the medical expense deduction back to the level that was in place before the Affordable Care Act. So Obamacare changed the law so that taxpayers could only deduct medical expenses that exceeded 10% of their income. It used to be 7.5%. So that is, people with high medical expenses, it was easier for them to, or they could deduct a greater share of those expenses, and the law changed that. So she managed to revert that back to the 7.5% level for 2 years. And this was something that earlier she had sought a change in the treatment just for senior citizens. So in the end, she actually got an even better deal. But this was something that the AARP had been pushing for in particular, because seniors have very high medical expenses, and this was a big change for them when Obamacare changed the law. So that was a win for their group, but also, I imagine, for Senator Collins' constituents who cared a lot about this.
And a lot of these amendments, they tend to benefit broad industries or broad groups of people. But something that stood out in your article in the Wall Street Journal was an amendment that benefits a single college in Michigan.
Right. That one was a little tricky. And we should note that in the end, it was Democrats managed to convince some of their Republican colleagues to vote to strike that provision from the bill. But it got a lot of attention Friday night in the final hours. And it was offered by Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. And it had to do with a new excise tax on university endowments. And so basically, Senator Toomey said, look, you know, he offered a provision that said colleges that don't take certain kinds of federal funding shouldn't have to pay this excise tax. Well, when lawmakers took a closer look, they realized, hey, this provision would actually only help one particular college, Hillsdale College in Michigan. And Democrats also pointed out that this school has some ties to the DeVos family and Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. So they jumped all over this and said, what is the point of this? Why is there an amendment that's just giving special treatment to one college? Mr. Toomey went to the floor and said, this is perfectly reasonable. If you don't take certain kinds of federal funding, you shouldn't have to pay this tax. But in the end, Democrats offer their own kind of counter amendment to say we should strike this language from the bill. And they got four Republican colleagues to support them, and the amendment was approved. So that language was ultimately struck from the final bill.
We're speaking with the Wall Street Journal's Kate Davidson about last-minute amendments inserted into the Senate GOP tax bill and one or two that actually wound up not being in the bill. And you're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
You've heard it a million times. Location, location, location. Well, that's because location's important. And it's the reason this ad, targeted at you, isn't located before a podcast about the history of ice dancing. If you own a business, you know the importance of location, which is why you need a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, a real estate expert who can help you find the perfect location to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
Welcome back, everybody. So, Kate, in most cases, amendments were inserted into the Senate tax bill to provide a benefit. But in some instances, in fact, in one instance, an amendment takes a benefit away. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa offered an amendment, and this had been part of a standalone legislation that she'd actually introduced before, and it would get rid of the deduction that members of Congress are allowed to take. They're allowed to deduct their living expenses from their income taxes while they're living and working in Washington, D.C. And so this is something that is not great, or that was a nice perk, I guess, for lawmakers. But clearly, there are some members who are saying, "Hey, this isn't really fair. This is our job. You know, we run for office, and we agree that we're going to move to D.C. at least for part of the week. A lot of them go home on the weekends. But while they're there, the argument was, we shouldn't be able to deduct these living expenses as essentially as business deductions. So that would eliminate that perk for them.
Now, for the most part, these amendments are quite generous, and they earned the tax bill some key Senate votes. Are some of them expected to be deleted as lawmakers try to match up the Senate and the House versions?
Certainly that could happen. I mean, we should definitely note that this isn't the law just yet. We have a Senate version, and the changes we're talking about were part of that bill that passed in the very early morning hours on Saturday. But now House lawmakers, they have their own bill that they've passed. They're going to get together in something called a conference committee and meet and hash out an agreement, say, here's your version, here's our version. They have to come to some agreement on two identical, or one, I guess, mash it into one single version that they both pass, and then that goes to the president. So they'll have to figure out what stays in and what goes. And I think some of the changes proposed, for example, from Senator Susan Collins, some of those healthcare ones are fairly tricky, and some House lawmakers may object to those. So nothing is final until it's final.
And Kate, after that, all members of Congress must vote on this final plan. But getting to that moment, they're up against a very tough deadline because President Trump wants this on his desk, a final plan on his desk by Christmas Day.
That's right. I mean, in Washington, they can get a lot, as we've seen. They could get a lot done in a tight time frame if they want to. And they have a couple of weeks where they can sort this out. So I think they probably feel comfortable that they have plenty of time. It seems as though the hard part is behind them, getting both chambers to pass a bill. And also important to remember, the tight timeline is somewhat self-imposed. Yes, the president certainly has made clear he wants that bill, to his desk by Christmas or by the end of the year, but nothing terrible is going to happen if that doesn't happen. But I think it seems, seems as though they're going to make that deadline.
All right. We'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. That's the Wall Street Journal's Kate Davidson joining us from our Washington Bureau. Kate, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.
Is Alexa part of your life? Then make Your Money Matters part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.